Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 31st of March, recording at 9:51 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were generally firm, and that's despite Wall Street's weakness overnight. Japan was down a little bit, and Australia was down a tiny bit. Now, the European markets started modestly, again following Wall Street's lead, but then picked up steam and closed very strong with gains on the order of, 2.5% to over 4%, partly because they closed really as Wall Street was near its highs of the day. Wall Street gave up just over half of its peak gains on the day, but it was still quite a respectable day overall, retracing part of yesterday's sell-off. In long-dated government bonds, prices were a little bit firmer across the board. The U.S. dollar was a bit weaker. The yen was considerably weaker. The Antipodean currencies were to the fore. Copper had a strong day, and precious metals, they kind of seesawed around for a bit, and platinum closing with the best gains, gold up a little bit here. Bullion's currently trading at $919 and a half dollars. The industrial metals were generally quite firm, as were most of the agricultural commodities. Soybeans had a very, very strong day here, and I note that's in backwardation as well. Okay, what's going on here overall? I mentioned yesterday that we had clear evidence, given the downward dynamics that we saw in stock markets, that a reaction and consolidation had commenced. It's encouraging from a bullish perspective to see that we did not get downside follow-through in here today. Now, that doesn't mean the correction is over by any means, or consolidation. It's probably more of a consolidation than a correction. Correction being more significant, but certainly a pause to refresh, digest gains is on the cards for global stock markets, and they would have to close above the highs that we saw either yesterday or probably late last week on Thursday or Friday of last week to question some further ranging consolidation. I mentioned yesterday that if stock markets were able to hang on to most of their gains, let's say over 50% on average of their gains seen since the early March lows, that would be quite a positive development generally for stock markets. Now, the leaders are very clearly identified by Asian emerging markets and by the South American resources markets. Those are the ones that I expect to get the big bull moves overall. Europe has lagged. The United States has lagged. OECD markets in general have lagged. And that's not surprising. That's where the worst of the credit problems have been. But the overall activity continues to be in line with Fuller Money forecasts, and that is that the sell-off into October and early November of last year was climactic, and therefore that marked the beginning of the end for the bear market. And the beginning of the end for the bear market coincides, of course, with the beginning of the bull for the next recovery phase. We've also emphasized all along that we expected a long convalescence. And that was due to the very bearish fundamental developments, not least centering on a financial crisis among the most of the OECD countries. And historically, those have tended to lead to longer convalescence periods and somewhat bigger bear markets, as I've mentioned on a number of occasions in the past. I've always emphasized that while Wall Street was the biggest elephant in the room and cast a long and often menacing shadow, that it certainly wasn't going to lead anything on the upside, and that for the lead, we would have to look to the markets that had stronger GDP figures, that had current account surpluses, and high savings rates. And that brings us right back to Asian emerging markets and those South American resources markets. Now, looking at the long-dated government bonds, I do feel that they probably don't have a big downside risk in terms of rising yields or falling prices in the short term. And that's because many, many people remain worried about a deflationary environment, and indeed there are deflationary pressures. And a number of those people are also still worried about a depression environment. I think we can forget about the depression. Countries have bought their way out of a depression, although I would not underestimate the severity of the current recession. And in the OECD countries, at least, I think we will see a fair amount of bad news, not only in the data for the first quarter of this year, which ends today, but also for the second and probably carrying into the third quarter. But my hunch is that the second quarter GDP data will be less bad than the fourth quarter and the first of last year and the first quarter of this year, and that the third quarter will be less bad than the second quarter of this year. So things are not as desperate out there as people had actually feared. And that's because when you start throwing trillions of dollars around, as the U.S. has certainly done, and we've had plenty of quantitative easing in other countries, and massive expansions in money supply, that you do buy a recovery. You can buy your way out of depression and deflation, as I've said on many, many occasions in the past. Now, maybe that will mean that growth isn't really so hot in the countries that are borrowing so much. Certainly there will be future risks, not least being inflation. The focal point of the inflation, I remain convinced, will be just where we saw the focal point of the inflation in 2007 and 2008, and that will be in commodity prices. So I do expect them to perform exceedingly well as the global economy starts to recover, and they're already beginning to reflect that potential. And we also have the likelihood, in my view, of a weaker U.S. dollar, which would add to the upside in the commodity sector overall. But I have been talking about, in the stream of consciousness here, I had been talking about long-dated government bonds, fear of depression, fear of deflation, fear of, or the promise of, quantitative easing. In other words, central banks buying their own government paper. They mostly talk about it, but then they step in when the market becomes a bit skeptical. Should prevent the long-dated government bond yields from pushing up too quickly. But they're on borrowed time. They're near historic lows. And the next big move in long-dated government bond yields can only be upwards in my view. Now, in currencies, the fact that the yen is no longer appreciating, in fact, it's been quite weak, and the fact that the dollar is no longer appreciating, but looks quite toppy against most other currencies, really signals loud and clearly that we are no longer seeing this big deleveraging of carry trade positions. And the yen's particularly important in that respect because it was the carry trade of choice for the longest period of all. So that's good news overall. And as a matter of fact, I think that a certain amount of risk appetite is returning, and that is actually reviving the carry trade once again. And we see that reflected by the strength, for instance, of the Australian and New Zealand dollars against the Japanese yen, and also increasingly also against the US dollar. And I expect those trends to continue, although they'll be choppy. Volatility is still fairly high in here, although I feel that volatility really peaked last October and November, and that was certainly unsustainable. You could really describe it, many people did describe it, including ourselves, as markets becoming dysfunctional to a considerable degree at that period. But that's all in the past, and let's let's look forward. I think this environment offers many, many more opportunities than the general consensus would hold. The general consensus is that this is an extremely dangerous environment fraught with peril for investors who should stay in cash. Well, that's a kind of a simplistic view overall. I think we're spoiled for choice in terms of trading opportunities, in terms of stock market opportunities, not in the sense that I expect runaway uptrends anytime soon, but that the evidence as it accumulates, continues to favor the base-building hypothesis that we have been advocating since late last autumn, or since mid-last autumn. And I think it's quite natural that support, I beg your pardon, that sentiment is at a negative extreme following a long bear market. We've certainly seen that in the past. And anybody who's read a little bit of stock market history knows that you buy when there's blood in the streets, and you keep buying after that, and you sell when there's a fairly high degree of euphoria and prices are accelerating higher. So, what else? In terms of commodities, industrial commodities, I mentioned that these are already recovering. We see lots of evidence of base building activity. We also see some of that in the agricultural commodities as well, although I feel personally that they are a bit more risky. And just about my favorite is copper. It gets some fairly decent swings in here. Today was a very strong day. It's best to buy it on easing within its trading ranges. But I do like that. I do like the action also of platinum, which really remains very, very steady. On one of my highly enjoyable consultancy outings today, a client took up my point that I said that with platinum, and everybody has been worrying over the last few months, or selling it because, or been bearish of platinum because of the big slowdown in the demand for automobiles, but that was obviously fully in the price. Platinum fell down, I think, briefly below $800, although it's recovering now. It's well off its highs. But the point I made was that if anything went wrong in South Africa in terms of strikes, or more likely power outages, that platinum would spike higher. Meanwhile, it's ranging higher in quite a nice fashion. And this client said yes, that platinum, in addition to its other attractive qualities, is basically a call option on some sort of supply disruption in South Africa. Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Precious metals generally, though, let's take gold and silver, they are in this somewhat awkward period where the people who were buying more or less on the global meltdown hypothesis are drifting away, and they have not quite been offset, or not been fully offset, by demand coming in from people who say, well, you know, really the greenback is not a safe haven currency here at all, and actually all of these currencies are involved in sort of a slow motion leapfrog race to the bottom here, and therefore we really do want to have monetary metals. My feeling is that they will range around for a while longer, not the people, but the precious metals. And the people may or may not, but that the precious metals will range for a while longer and then break out on the upside. And I think that's pretty much it for another day. Interesting day, but most of them are, aren't they? And as I said before, I think we're spoiled for choice in this environment. But in the short term, I'd be a little cautious on the stock markets. It's best to buy on setbacks. And well, my view on precious metals also is it's best to acquire on setbacks. That's what I try to do anyway, and when I don't do that, I don't do as well. So, meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.